Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Well, don't you know, the non-farm payroll report for December was much better than expected, quote unquote, according to CNBC. There was 216,000 new jobs, net new jobs created, versus the 175,000 net new job estimate. But that supposedly good news ends there. The revisions in this report were a negative 71,000 for October and November combined. In fact, for 2023, 90% of all the revisions that were made for the initial projection for the net new number of jobs created were to the downside, with an average reduction of 40,000 per month. In this report for December, government hiring was up 52,000. There was a 676,000 person drop in the labor force, and there was a substantial 683,000 fewer people employed, as indicated from the household survey, as opposed to the 216,000 BS from the establishment survey. Also, the average work week fell, and also the index of aggregate hours worked dropped. And that is the measurement of the actual labor impulse into the economy. Dropped. Most importantly, the employment to population ratio dropped precipitously by 0.3. That was the largest drop in the EPOP, the employment to population ratio, since March of 2020, which was when the economy started to shut down. I continue. By the way, why am I talking about the non-farm payroll report? I'm just trying to illustrate to you how, not only how fragile the economy really is, genuinely is, but also to highlight how the mainstream financial media likes to spin everything as bullish, just like they're going apoplectic about the Bitcoin ETF is sort of approved. The pathway to the Bitcoin ETF is approved. But I digress. Let's get back to the labor report. Challenger Gray and Christmas had the following data to report. The actual reality behind U.S. businesses' hiring practices for all of last year. U.S. employers announced plans to add a total of 780,123 positions for all of 2023. That was down an incredible 47% from the 1,482,364 people that were intended to be hired in 2022. Those are the announcements from corporations of who they planned, how many people they planned to hire. Last year's total was the lowest yearly number of announced hiring plans since 2015, when employers planned to hire 690,751 workers. For the month of December, there were just 3,022 hiring plans announced. That was the lowest monthly total since Challenger, Gray & Christmas, this very important labor research firm, began tracking detailed hiring plans in 2009. Let's continue. The ISM, the Institute of Supply Management Manufacturing Survey, declined for the 14th month in a row. The December figure was 47.4. It's a diffusion index, so any reading below 50 shows that the sector is shrinking. The goods producing sector of the economy shrank for 14 consecutive months. New orders fell to 47.1 and employment was 48.1. Again, any number below 50 means contraction is occurring. The larger part of the economy is the service sector, And the ISM also had a survey. And for December, that came in at just 50.6 versus 52.7 in the prior month, which was barely in expansion territory. New orders, new service orders dropped from 55.5 to 52.8. And most importantly, the employment subcomponent of this services index plunged to 43.3 from 50.7. So maybe CNBC should revise their description about the surprising strength of the labor market and instead just talk about how misleading the headline figure was. And you know, while I'm on the subject of what they should stop talking about, maybe they should also stop talking about how good 2023 was for stocks without mentioning the disaster that occurred in 2022. Okay, let's switch to topic and talk about inflation. Eurozone inflation increased in December from 2.4% year over year to 2.9% year over year. And I highlight this fact to illustrate how sticky inflation is across the globe and that the pathway to from disinflation to deflation is going to be very, very difficult. I mean, that means going from near double digits to 3% inflation was easy in the United States, but getting down to zero or below is going to be very, very difficult unless we have a catastrophic collapse of the economy and the credit markets, which I think, by the way, is still a very salient risk. And I'll get more into that in a second. But here's the truth. Gracefully sticking the landing at 2% target inflation, which is what the Fed and the ECB and every other major central bank on the planet is all saying, they all sing from the same hymnal, it's going to be much more difficult. Indeed, I think it will be virtually impossible because getting inflation down in a more permanent basis to 2% requires a collapse of asset bubbles. And it requires debt to be defaulted on, which would be deflationary. In other words, inflation wouldn't go down from high single digits or double digits to 2. It would go to 0 and then plunge into negative territory. Deflationary. Central banks hate deflation. They fear it more than anything else because in reality, they exist to protect banks, not consumers. So if banks hold assets like mortgage-backed securities and the homes that are underwritten by these mortgage contracts collapse in value, what happens to the price of these mortgage-backed securities? They collapse. That's what happens in deflation. And that means these banks become insolvent. And that's why the Fed and the ECB and the PBOC and the Bank of Japan all fear deflation. Why do you think they have the 2% unanimous target in the first place? Because it gives them some wiggle room. If inflation goes to 2 to 0, they know they need to act immediately to start pushing up asset prices further and to continue with the evisceration of the middle class and the purchasing power of consumers and savers. This fact especially applies to the Fed. This function of central bank interference, it would normally be a slight deflationary function where productivity increases and prices of things fall, and that increases the purchasing power of consumers. That's enemy number one of central banks, and now you know why. Because it destroys the assets of banks, which is what they are. They're in the first place to protect. Okay, let's turn quickly to the portfolio review. We now hold about 68% in shorter duration treasury notes. We have no T-bills in our portfolio any longer because we are positioning to profit from declining economic data, which is why I started the podcast off with the very important labor data, which is absolutely now starting to fracture. Recession is coming, but the time for that arrival is not yet. The inflation, deflation, economic cycles model output is clear on both fronts. We are still headed for a recession. The time has not yet arrived. The U.S. stock market is massively overvalued at this juncture, and it is also completely priced in already for absolute perfection. Perfection. In other words, a soft landing where inflation comes down to 2%, doesn't go any lower, stays at 2%, economy doesn't fall off a cliff, just stays at a normal trend growth rate, is already more than completely priced in. The truth is the U.S. economy is limping along, but still suffers from inflation that is well above the Fed's 2% target. Prices are rising more slowly, but they are rising from a level that is already completely unaffordable to more than 60% of Americans. So let's continue on with the portfolio allocation. We own gold. We own miners. We own low volatility stocks. We have defense. We own India. We are short junk bonds. In other words, we are net long in the portfolio, but remain cautious and vigilant to understand when we need to become more defensive. Because while we are fully aware of the need to participate in bull markets and in rallies, we are also extremely cognizant of the fact that paramount in our minds is to not get caught in the next air pocket for stocks, which is absolutely clearly highlighted on the calendar for March. I mean, March is the key time frame for things to change. The reverse repo facility runs dry, and that'll force the public to absorb all of the $7 trillion of treasury debt that has to be issued. That comes from the deficit plus rollovers. It will also be the time that the Fed's QT program will just begin to bite. Because all this time the Fed's QT program has been running, it's been offset by what's in the reverse repo facility. It was $2.5 trillion there. Now there's only $650 billion there. And when that runs out, when it goes down to just a couple hundred billion, all the Fed's $95 billion per month QT program is just going to be purely burning base money supply and removing bank liquidity that is used to buy treasury bonds. There'll be nothing left, only the public as the buyer. Also, the Bank Term Funding Program is set to expire in March, which is the program that I hasten to remind you that bailed out and continues to bail out the banking system from its underwater assets known as treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, housing-related debt. Economic gravity and reality cannot be avoided forever. The gargantuan dung pile of debt is being rolled over at much higher interest rates. Let me give you for instance. U.S. federal government debt is up from $11.1 trillion in 2008 to $34 trillion today. That means our debt has tripled in the past 16 years alone. And no, with $2 trillion deficits, as far as the eye can see, it really isn't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And this debt cannot be adequately serviced without the Fed buying most of it. The Fed is now a seller. So even more chaos is coming to the bond market very soon. Alternatively, the Fed can jump back into the debt monetization game, but that means inflation will soar from its consumer-crushing level. And that, in the end, will be even more chaotic and deadly to the bond market. Here at Pentoport, we are prepared to profit either way.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.